Net neutrality is going to be voted on by the FCC December 14th.
Right.
All right. Now, once upon a time, this is 2004, the Federal Communications Commission, the chairman then announced a set of non-discrimination principles, which he called the Principles of Network Freedom. In the speech at the Silicon Flatron Symposium, Powell encouraged ISP Internet service providers to offer users four freedoms: freedom to access content, freedom to run applications, freedom to attach devices, freedom to obtain service plan information, how fast your speed.
Right.
And the idea being that we would make sure the Internet is accessible and fast for everyone.
Correct.
Where does net neutrality come in to change this?
Well, net neutrality is kind of a more modern argument that we should keep the Internet open to everybody equally, and that and as an ISP, you shouldn't have the ability to throttle down or prioritize or give preference to your content or those whom you might be engaged in a preferential business deal with over those who aren't in that type of arrangement. I think back to that time period of 2004, 2003, when we were first all getting our broadband, right? And our broadband, you got one charge, and it was the speed that you got. And now we're seeing a change in how that's offered, and companies now are offering, you know, enforcing caps and enforcing different tiers of speed.
I got this in the mail.
Right.
You want the silver plan, you want the gold plan, you want the platinum plan, this is guaranteed at this, this is guaranteed at this, this has no caps, this does. I mean, there was literally an array I got in the mail the other day.
Right, and you know, with the potential repeal of the net neutrality, it's possible. You know, people, you've probably seen the infographics of what could be in store with content related to your ISP and what plans they're going to allow you to get and how much you want to pay to get the social media plan and how much for the movie plan in order to get the best access to the content that you want. And that's a tough thing for a lot of people who are used to being able to hop on and get anything that they want with equal speed and equal access. That's hard for a lot of people to swallow, especially, you know, I teach college students, and I think they probably use the Internet as much, if not more, than anybody else. And among those, we talk about this a lot. It's, you know, it's a big deal. They don't want their Internet changed. They like it as it is, and they don't want to have to think about paying different and accessing things different than they do.
Is the outline that you just gave me, Associate Professor Tom Ebodin, SIU, joining us this morning, is that a worst-case scenario, Tom?
You know, I don't know that we know what the worst-case scenario is, because it with potential changes, it could open up different business models that haven't come to mind yet. The common one is like what I just discussed is a tiered plan from your ISP where you pay extra. You kind of, people call it the cable model, right? Where you pay for the first model and or the lower tier, and you get 150 channels that are shopping channels you never watch.
Right.
And it could be something similar with your ISPs. The one thing that is, I think, really problematic is, you know, in my case, I live out in the middle of the country. I really today only have one choice for an ISP.
Satellite?
Exactly, yeah. Because, you know, cellular is just too expensive.
I've done them both.
Yeah.
And they both are just horrid.
Yeah, it stinks, but it helps you prioritize other things,
I think. It does. That stops you from watching movies too, doesn't it?
Sometimes.
You got a data cap, don't you?
Yeah.
50 gig?
No, it's 150.
But, good job
but
for
it's,
you.
It's new. We recently switched, so we haven't even begun to see how it affects us.
But see, I find that you having those services allows you a level of insight that other people take for granted. They're in town, they're hooked up to their cable, and you know, and it's pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yours is a little slower. When you go to work, you notice yours goes zip.
Exactly.
And when you're at home, you're going, well...
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I mean, I try to grade papers at home, and sometimes I just
can't. See the screen of my broken screen on my phone?
Uh-huh.
I wonder what that's about. Not fast enough, bam, 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 right? Because we do, and we want our id, you know? We want it now.
Right.
Because one of the things that I've seen on more than one occasion is people saying, look, if you're with one Internet provider, maybe it's Yahoo, I think they just used an example, and they don't like Google. We're already seeing a fight now on the Amazon platforms and what YouTube is available on Amazon platforms, and they've shut them off, man. You're not allowed. Then they found a workaround, and now they've stopped that too.
Yeah.
Well, what if you're with this service provider and they don't have an agreement with Google? So if you want to assess the Google page, the search page, it just says Google in the search bar, well, we'll charge you $15 a month for access to that. That's one of the items that I saw that I think kind of I'm going, is this real or is this hyperbole?
We don't know. I mean, it's ultimately consumers will speak with their pocketbooks, I think. But any ISP or any company could theoretically do whatever they thought would help them generate revenue.
Make money.
And it's tough to know exactly what might happen. You know, some people say, you know, in the early days, before the strong net neutrality rules were put in effect, we didn't have so much regulation and they didn't do stuff like that. But we've seen, you know, the internet and technology and networks are evolving. And so, you know, think back 15, 20 years, we would have no clue how things would be today. You know, it's crazy that we all have mini computers in our pockets that right. We can buy things and have them be at our house 2 days later.
And it wasn't that long ago.
Exactly. And so with the potential rollback of these regulations or the changes, it's theorized, but companies may not. Maybe they will leave the things the same, because it's one thing that has been widely reported is that support for keeping net neutrality has been pretty bipartisan across the board. And I even have a student whose family owns an ISP, and he wrote me a little blurb saying, yeah, I support net neutrality, and we own an ISP. So,
all right. 2014, the FCC decided to consider two options, permitting fast and slow broadband lanes, thereby compromising net neutrality, and second, reclassifying broadband as a telecommunication service, thereby preserving net neutrality. When you look at this, we're standing on the bones of an old system and old regulatory items based on telephone service, wired telephone service.
Right, and I think the original act was from 1934 or something like that. So it's
literally,
yeah, it's there's plenty of instances of outdated computer technology laws related, being used in other circumstances. But in this case, you know, this 1934 law, which, you know, I couldn't even imagine to think back then if people could wrap their heads around the idea of there being an internet. You know.
All right. And they were still saying things like there'll never be a computer because people don't need them and they'll be too big.
Exactly.
Right? All right. Now, you and I talked about this a couple of years back.
Uh-huh.
Because this is not the first swing on this. February 26, 2015, the FCC ruled in favor of net neutrality.
Correct.
Because there was another vote. Now, I couldn't find it where I read this originally, because my understanding when they put this in 2004, to keep it in place, they had to keep voting to keep it in place, my understanding. And that's why we hear it, we think it's dealt with, and then we hear it again 2 years later, because apparently they need to keep voting to keep net neutrality reality.
Well, I think there was a ruling related to a Verizon case. And I think it was 2014 that...
I know the one you're talking about. It was a phone service. Gosh, what was that?
Vonage, maybe?
Yeah, and there was. And they paid like a $15 fine or something.
Something, yeah. So I think once that happened in 2014, the FCC realized we had to think about this again and start looking at it. And so they made that... That change, and they voted, I think, 3-2 in support of the net neutrality with the Title II carriers and some of the regulations associated with that being kind of scaled back because they didn't really apply to what was currently in the situation in the technology.
Yeah. So the FCC will have their commissioners. I guess they're voting on this here. I'm just trying to find this really quickly if there was a note that I had. Comcast was involved in apparently something on BitTorrent, which, you know, some of that was illegal content too.
Some.
Movies that shouldn't have been. And then, as you said, some, but not all. But this has gone on before, and there have been some past rulings. And I can't remember what the original ones. Was there a phone company that tried to do something and they got caught? They slowed down people's services.
Yeah, that was definitely.
And so that got a lot of people's attention. All right, so this is going to be coming up. This is a reality, and the vote is next Thursday, 1 week from tomorrow.
Yep, 14th.
And we'll be able to hear more about this. But, you know, there's a lot of talk on the internet about net neutrality, and this is the worst ever idea. The world is falling apart. The sky is falling. Some of this is hyperbole. Your biggest personal legitimate concerns when it comes to a change like this and net neutrality?
I pay a lot for my broadband already, and I don't want to pay anymore. You know, I have a expensive bill for...
You're a bottom line guy.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know that... I personally don't believe that companies will do anything so drastically immediately that it's going to really tick off consumers. But, you know, that I guess that is always possible. But to me, it's the bottom line. I don't want to pay more for internet access.
And do you want to be able to do it? I mean, if anybody realizes where the edge is at and where opportunity lies in this area, it's you. I mean, that's what you teach every day. And
right.
People with getting ideas and putting up walls in this economic opportunity that we see there as well. I wonder very often, I think about this, you know, if one of the stations here in the River Radio Group plays music, we pay a licensing group, BMAI,
sure.
ASCAP, right? Content, right? And now you've got the people who are making the money. They never really do any content. They're just in charge of delivering content. Ameren, they're not in the power generating business. I've had them on here many times. Say, we're in the power delivery business.
Right.
That middleman aspect. And what's interesting is I see the middleman being the richest man in the room as opposed to the person who's paying for it or the person who's creating content, and it seems disproportionate because they wouldn't have anything to run over that data that they're trying to sell me if there wasn't content. And there's some guy in his garage, you know, eating the hottest pepper in the world in front of a camera,
right?
Who's sweating and blowing chunks in the corner. We're lining up to watch this guy. He's not getting a dime. Maybe you will eventually, depending on views. But the guy who made the money was the guy who delivered it to you.
Yeah. No, I heard a story yesterday about a lady out in California who quit her job with Dell and was making six figures just trying on clothes and posting the videos to YouTube for hundreds of thousands of followers. So, yeah, it's crazy the way that people are able to monetize the internet and quit their day jobs and find ways to support themselves doing these silly things.
Uh-huh.
Not always silly, but, you know, eating hot peppers and trying on clothes to get...
Well, I'm envisioning you in a nice prom dress now, Tom. So it's a backless chiffon number. You're going to be fine.
Is it what color? Green?
It's pink.
Pink? Oh.
Green's your color?
Green's more
okay.
My color.
All right. Well, I'll keep that in mind next time. But because that's the point. I mean, the content that's out there right now and people saying, no, that's mine.
Yeah.
Copyrighted pictures. You know, and you've seen YouTube now saying, I think they're hiring 10,000 new people to monitor the videos.
Right, right.
Because some of those are disturbing. And my thought was this morning, you guys want to monitor the images. Man, you should be monitoring the comments.
Yeah, I don't even bother. No point in reading comments.
You just, yeah, because it turns you off what you're doing, doesn't it? It makes
uh-huh.
you feel bad afterwards.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, you got a feeling about next Thursday?
Well, I think they are going to vote the way we expect them to and repeal it. One other thing we didn't talk about.
Because of the change in the administration, you
right.
think? Because
yep.
this is not the first time it's been voted on, and they've kept it in place in
it's
the past.
It's not, and I think they, at least under the FCC, it's pretty party-line driven. But one other thing that, you know, kind of we haven't spoken in favor of it. You know, some people argue that with the repeal of it, these providers can find ways to better invest money to improve service for customers. And whether or not we see that or not, I did read a statistic that broadband network infrastructure spending was down 6% or something like that. A year ago.
On infrastructure spending? That's disturbing.
Right, right. And, you know, we've got increasing appetites for data, and with these videos are now, 4K? So we have lots and lots of bits that are being pushed through the, you know, in many cases, aging copper and fiber cables. And if the carriers, you know, are looking to find a way to make more money, and if they, you know, spend that on infrastructure investments, then that could be a good benefit for all of us. That could be a good thing that could come out of this.
Tom's just touched on my favorite rant the day that I smashed my screen on my phone right now. Couldn't get something, waiting for it, little clock turning, and I'm screaming, there are little kindergartners in South Korea watching pop videos with better speed than I get.
Right, right. See, I'm lucky because my kids are growing up deprived of internet, so they'll be happy, they'll be fortunate when they get someplace where they've got good speed.
You're conditioning them.
Right.
All yep. right. Information technology system specialist and associate professor from SIU, Tom Ebodin. Really good to see you, Tom.
Thanks for having
me.
Appreciate it.
Too.